SBS Audio is supported by advertising.
Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
אתם עם SBS בעברית. לעוד סיפורים מעניינים, כנסו ל-sbs.com.au.
Hi, Amit. We'll start with a few of the main headlines in this week's Australian Jewish news. So firstly, Foreign Minister Penny Wong has assured the Jewish community that the federal Labor government, quote, will not impose its view, quote, of the final borders of Jerusalem, which should be the result of peace negotiations, after the government hardened its policies on Israel this week. Penny Wong told Senate Question Time on Tuesday that Australia will now use the term occupied Palestinian territories to describe lands beyond the Green Line, as well as Gaza, which Israel withdrew from in 2005. Wong said, "We are clarifying that the West Bank, including East Jerusalem and Gaza, were occupied by Israel following the 1967 war, and that the occupation continues," she said. The government is also strengthening its opposition to settlements, quote, by affirming they are illegal under international law and a significant obstacle to peace. Wong continued, "We are gravely concerned about alarming trends that are significantly reducing the process of peace and are deeply concerned by the Israeli government's settlement activity, including its advancements of thousands of settlement units, retroactively legalization of illegal outposts and policy changes." Now, in comments made exclusively to the Jewish News on Wednesday, Penny Wong said, "We respect the historical and enduring connection the Jewish people have to Jerusalem's holy sites, and there are few issues more central for many Jewish people than the status of Jerusalem. It's the heart of Israel's origins and its future," she said. She added, "Jerusalem is a final status issue." So the use of the term occupied Palestinian territory, she claimed, does not change this. Labor member for McNamara, Josh Burns, told the Jewish News, "Let me be clear, the Kotel, Western Wall, is the holiest site for the Jewish people, and it is in Israel and will remain so." Now, Labor's federal conference will be held from August 17 to 19. After a motion calling on the federal government to recognise the Palestinian state within the term of this parliament passed at its Victorian State Labor Conference in June. Now, Shadow Foreign Affairs Minister Senator Simon Birmingham hit back, saying, "Labor's backroom decisions on Israel and the Palestinian territories have everything to do with managing factional differences ahead of Labor's national conference and nothing to do with the advancing of a lasting two-state outcome." Liberal member for Barara, Julian Lisa, who's Jewish, told ABC News on Tuesday that the Labor Party has had a problem with the hard left at this conference, and they've had two foreign policy matters which the hard left has attacked. Firstly, AUKUS, and secondly, the State of Israel. And they've torn down one of those foreign policy pillars, which is support for the State of Israel, in order to preserve the other. Now, calling the changes counterproductive, independent member for Wentworth in Sydney's East, Allegra Spender, said she will continue to press the government to support a constructive solution. She said Australia should promote productive dialogue and encourage a return to good faith negotiations, and there is no point in Australia making symbolic changes to language. Now, some reaction from Jewish communal leaders. In a joint statement, Zionist Federation of Australia President Jeremy Liebler and Executive Council of Australian Jewry President Gillian Segal called the change in language, quote, "inaccurate, ahistorical and counterproductive." They said describing the territories as Palestinian not only preempts the outcome of negotiations but is counterproductive. They added, "Palestinian terrorism against Israeli targets has risen dramatically, and Palestinian leadership has refused to enter into negotiations with Israel in the last 2 years. So the Australian government should be urging the Palestinians to return to the negotiation table. And the announcement will be used by Israeli and Palestinian hardliners to bolster support within their respective constituencies and put a peace agreement further out of reach. They also said it's concerning that just as Arab states are moving closer to Israel and normalising relations, this announcement by the Australian government moves Australia in the opposite direction. There's also been comment from Australia, Israel and Jewish Affairs Council. Director Colin Rubinstein says this new Australian position will make it extremely difficult for Australia to present itself as a credible and effective advocate for a two-state peace solution. Australia-Israel Labor Dialogue co-convener Adam Slomin said the policy change only emboldens extremists on both sides. The New Israel Fund, however, welcomed the decision, saying the current Netanyahu government has enabled the far-right messianic agenda of the settlement enterprise, and it continues to support the agenda of the settlement movement.
Obviously, big news here with the Australian government's new controversial position on Israel and the Palestinian. And this also brings us back to October 2022, when Minister Penny Wong announced the reversal of the Morrison government of recognizing West Jerusalem as the capital of Israel.
Yes, that's right. So, yes, it's quite concerning.
And you can read the full story on this week's edition of the Australian Jewish News. Moving on to other stories, Shane, and another controversial story, this time with the ABC on their coverage of last week incident in Israel, where an Israeli man got killed by a Palestinian in a terror attack.
Yes, so Jewish roof bodies have written to the ABC over its coverage of the terrorist attack that killed 42-year-old patrolman Chen Amir in Tel Aviv over the weekend. Amir was a 42-year-old married father of three. He was shot by a Palestinian terrorist on Saturday night. His colleague shot the gunman, who was declared dead in hospital. Critically wounded, Amir later passed away from his wounds. Yet the ABC's headline on Sunday morning read, quote, "Palestinian man killed in Tel Aviv shooting that leaves another critically injured." Now, Zionism Victoria alerted the taxpayer-funded broadcaster to what it called the shameful, skewed headline at around 1 p.m. on Sunday, but the headline had not been changed on the ABC's website since then, well, at least until the time of going to press on Wednesday. A more accurate link would read, "Israeli killed by Palestinian gunman while preventing terror attack." Zionism Victoria President Yossi Goldfarb and Executive Director Zeddy Lawrence said. They said, "All too often, sadly, when it comes to reporting on Israel, the story is inverted to make the perpetrator the victim and vice versa. It is fallacious coverage such as this that fuels the all-too-prevalent public perception that Israel is the villain of the peace and deserves to be demonized." The fact, they said, that the headline remained unchanged for more than 24 hours after the ABC was notified does little to reassure us about the ABC's commitment to objective journalism. And the ABC says its ombudsman's office has six content complaints on hand and is investigating the concerns raised. There's also a very, very personal Australian link to this. The shockwaves of the terror attack in Israel have hit close to home as Melbourne Jewish communal figure and chairman of the Anti-Defamation Commission, Dvir Abramovich, mourns his first cousin. Chen Amir was his first cousin, the man who was shot and killed in the attack. Abramovich said Amir, 42, was a true hero, a devoted father to three beautiful girls, and a loving husband to Vered, who dedicated his life to defending Israel and its people. He said, "I've spoken to my family in Israel who are shattered and cannot come to terms with this catastrophe. Chen will always put the people of Israel and his country first as a fearless warrior, but we knew him as the beautiful, compassionate man and the best cousin anyone could ask for.
Yeah, very sad. And again, some misleading information that is given by a big media organization about incidents in Israel. Do you think it's an act of ignorance without knowing the true facts? After all, they could do some research.
Yeah, but ultimately they're publishing a story on their site, so they have the responsibility to make sure everything is accurate, especially headlines, because headlines are the first thing that people look at in any story. And sometimes people only look at headlines and they don't really read the rest, so they get in their head what's in the headline. And of course, the ABC is taxpayer funded. It's not a private news organisation. It's every Australian adult pays tax, which funds the ABC. So they need to be treated a little bit different, I suppose, as well, because of that.
Yeah. Most of the headlines I read about this story would read completely differently. There are so many other sources of trusted news where the info is given correctly.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. They should. And especially to get a headline like that so completely wrong. About obviously an issue is someone being murdered by terrorists, and to get that twisted completely the wrong way around, either it's careless or it's worse. Hopefully they will investigate it like they say they will, and hopefully very, very soon.
Okay, let's move on to other stories, Shane. What else is making headlines on this week's edition?
In Sydney, Waverley Council has submitted a proposal to Heritage List the Harry Seidler Design Synagogue in Bondi and is inviting the community to provide feedback. The site of the former Yeshiva College on Flood Street is owned by billionaire property developer Harry Trigoboff, who put in a rezoning request to Waverley Council last year to permit a low-rise apartment building. That prompted the Seidler family to convince the council to place an interim heritage order on the building in February to protect it from demolition. The synagogue was designed by architect Seidler in the 1950s, and it's his only religious building that he designed. It is recognized as a groundbreaking building for its time and displays Seidler's interpretation of the Bauhaus style. Seidler's wife, Penelope, told the AGN she has no problem with Trigoboff's rezoning application, but said demolishing the building would be a real tragedy. The planning proposal is on public exhibition until September 14, and then council will prepare a report for consideration later in the year. Yeah. And in Melbourne, speaking about developments, the Jewish residential development proposed along Westwood Walk in Fraser Rise in Melbourne's outer northwest is a small step closer after Jewish community members behind the initiative acquired two adjoining blocks of land, totaling 1,100 square metres. It's terrific news because it means we can now take the first steps towards planning for a synagogue and a childcare centre to be constructed, Andrew Robinson, who has bought a block in the development, said. He added, to date, 20 Jewish families have bought land in Fraser Rise. As more land is purchased and homes built, the community will grow around existing infrastructure. The development borders Caroline Springs and Taylor's Lakes and is close to two main freeways that make driving to the city accessible. Melton Council has indicated that zoning laws would permit the building of a synagogue and mikveh around which residential blocks can be purchased.
Thanks for the update. Anything in sports this week?
Yeah, in sport, Jewish North Melbourne Kangaroo star Harry Sheezel returned to his roots last week when he visited an Ajax Junior Footy Club training session, making lots of kids happy. And also he attended the trophy presentation of the annual AFL Jewish Schools Cup, which was played in Caulfield South at Princes Park. So there was a lot of Sheezel chants by the kids, and he stuck around for selfies, photos, and to sign autographs.
Fantastic. And that's Shane Desiatnik with the latest updates from this week's edition of the Australian Jewish News. Speak to you next time.
Thanks very much.
עקבו אחרינו והפיצו אותנו דרך דף הפייסבוק שלנו.
SBS SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.